Crawford?
Amen. Thank you, Brother Charlie and Sister Anna. We are in Titus 1, going through our study on Wednesday nights. Titus chapter 1. Paul, the servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight, and I thank you that we can hide in you, that we can run to Christ any moment of the day in faith, in prayer. God, for strength to live this Christian life, because we have no ability to do that apart from you, apart from your Spirit, which you have put in us, apart from your word, which gives us life, which purifies our hearts and minds, God, and how we need you always, dear God. And Father, I need you tonight. Fill me with your Spirit and help me ministering the word. Fill my dear wife, Lisa, with your Spirit, teaching the deaf ladies tonight. Fill Levi with your Spirit, watching the children, God. And Father, also just fill with thy Spirit as we all look at your word, God, help us and enlighten our minds and our eyes and speak to us individually as only you can, showing us applications that we can make and God drawing us close to you. I thank you for your watch care over your people. I thank you for the grace that you give in these trials that many are facing, dear God. And Father, I pray continue to give that strength and grace, and that our love to you and toward one another would continue to grow. Our likeness of the likeness of Christ would continue to grow, dear God. A love for holiness, a hatred for sin, a longing for your coming, a love for souls. God, please work these things in our hearts and minds. And Father, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We pray you'd be with the missionaries tonight in their meetings and bless them, God, and be with them each one. And Father, we do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we had a good offering for the missionaries. And I think it was actually a record offering for the church, which was a great blessing. Yeah. It was $3,681. Yeah. Amen. So praise the Lord. Amen. And I had got a text back later that evening from the missionaries. Hello, Pastor. We had a wonderful time. That's home to dinner last night. That night with the Reeds, they had a great time at your house last night. So I already told them that. He texted 5 o'clock. Sunday. I looked at the love offering check, and we just want to say how humbled and very grateful we are for the hospitality and sacrifice of the church on our behalf. He says your church. I know what they mean, but you know what? It's God's church, amen. Christ is the head of the church, and so he says. Grateful hospitality and sacrifice to the church on our behalf. We pray that God will give us much fruit that will be fruit to your account. So praise the Lord, and what a blessing to have a part in worldwide missions, amen. And to support missionaries who have given their lives and answered a call that God hasn't given to you and I. That's why we're still here, amen? Because we need people on both ends, amen? And there has to be those that go, there has to be those that give. You know, when we, you know, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his own hands, what? That he may have to give to him that's in need. So the first and number one reason that we work is that we may give. And that's what Christ teaches, okay? And If I was working a job and making a dollar a day, I would want to give out of that dollar a dime to the church and a dime to missions, okay? And then I'd try to budget out the rest of my living from there, okay? But whatever it might be, whatever God might direct. So we're thankful for the great meeting that we had there. Amen. All right, so we're looking at growing in the Lord, and I forget the actual title of the study. I guess it'll be on this. There we go, from forgiven to faithfulness. We won't get much farther than that right there. We saw that last week. Paul, servant and apostle. Paul's seen with godliness, and we probably won't get farther than that tonight. We saw the apostle Paul introduce himself in the letter there as a servant of God, and we talked about that. He is a doulos, a bond slave, and how fitting that is for a leader must be a servant. We considered Matthew 20, 26 through 28, where Christ said, the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. Whosoever we be great among you, let him be your minister. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So we are called to be servants one to another, and I'm thankful for the servants' hearts that I see among God's people. We saw Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's our reasonable service, amen, to give our lives to God and serve him whatever way that he would have us to. And we saw Jesus links service to worship. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only what? Shalt thou serve. It's all linked together there. We considered some things that we used to serve before we got saved. Possessions, but you can't serve God and mammon. We saw people, you're bought with a price, be ye not the servants of men. Pleasures, fleshly pleasures. Titus 3:3, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceiving, serving divers lusts and pleasures. And all those things, we were servants to them. You say, we weren't servants to them. That's what we wanted to do. Well, ask someone that's lost to see if they can put those things aside for a week, and we'll see who's serving who. Amen. And we were servants to those things. And by the way, it's the pleasures of sin for a season, amen? For a season. It's a short time on earth that pleasure is, and it is a long time of regret, the fruits that those things will bring in eternity. And so thank God we have the wisdom of God right here to turn us away from those things, amen? The Spirit of God to enlighten us to the Word of God, and to turn us away from those things. They asked some rather obvious questions in our studies, in case you haven't noticed by now. Question 3 in your book, why would you expect a servant of God to be a godly leader? Well, if they're serving God, then God's obviously going to be directing them to what? Be doing and saying godly things. Amen. So they ought to be a godly leader if they are indeed a servant of God. That's for sure. In his greeting to Titus, Paul, for the sake of all who will read this epistle, he also makes it clear that he is an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk some about an apostle tonight. Looking at Titus 1:1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, he says, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. So his apostleship is based on what follows. So we're actually going to look at what follows first, because that's what his apostleship springs from, okay? So he says, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. So that's where his apostleship springs from. And so we'll see that. He's an apostle according to the faith of God's elect. What is the apostle speaking of there? Now, God's elect there, we've been through this a million times. That's talk. Elect is another term for Christians, okay? Jesus Christ is the elect. When you get in Jesus Christ, you become elect, okay? Because you're in the elect, all right? And that just means in the elect, that means that you are now an heir of all the things that God has chosen to bless those with that are in Christ. All the callings that he's given to those that are in Christ are yours when you get saved because you're in the elect. And so that's what he's talking about there. But according to the faith of God's elect or Christians, the believers, the faith the Lord Jesus Christ taught. But he's speaking of the body of truth which has been revealed to him concerning Jesus Christ, the gospel, and the church. It also includes all the scriptures, as Paul will declare throughout his teachings. It is the scriptures together, along with what Paul was preaching by word of mouth and the other apostles, and along with their preachings that would be turned into writings. All of those things are the word of God. And this is the body of the faith. Obviously, while the apostles were speaking, it was not yet scripture until it was written, okay? Nonetheless, it was the word of God, okay? And that was part of the faith. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul writing to Timothy says, "From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise through unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Of course, there he's obviously referring to what? The Old Testament scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And I may add in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, we often, he says, from a child, thou'st known the Holy Scriptures. So we show that is leaning it towards the Old Testament Scriptures, because most of the New Testament scriptures were written also by the time that Paul wrote 2 Timothy. So, but since he says to Timothy from a child, that shows he's referring to the Old Testament scriptures from his mother and grandmother, and is likely what he's referring to there. So he's talking about those all the Old Testament scriptures when he says according to the faith of God's elect. But he's also talking about the things that they were preaching even before they came scriptures. Look at verse 3 of Titus 1. "He hath in due times God has manifested his word," what's it say? Through preaching. He is manifesting his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So Paul says what he was preaching, even before it was written, was God's word being manifest. You might remember when Paul wrote his letter to the church at Thessalonica, among the earliest of his letters that he writes. Probably Galatians probably preceded that, but then he wrote 1 and 2 Thessalonians. But 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul writes in verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because that when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So the apostle Paul writes the letter, and he says, "When we were there preaching, you received what we were preaching as the word of God, because it was. That was part of the faith, even before it was written." Okay, matter of fact, when you read the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, there's a whole lot of doctrine in there. Paul taught them a whole lot in just 3 months. And by the way, when he writes those letters with all that doctrine in there, he's reviewing what he already taught them by word before he wrote it. Do you see that? And it was the word of God when he was speaking it. It became the scripture, the word of God, when he wrote it down in a letter and sent it to him. You see that? So it was the word of God. So all that was part of the faith. And the Old Testament scriptures was part of the faith of God's elect. It's interesting how much of the word was first preached before it was written. Think about that. A whole lot of it. Now, not all of it. You know, we think about Jude. You know, Jude wrote his letter in a defense of the faith. We don't know whether he preached those things to anyone before he wrote to the church. So there are writings that weren't preached first. We think of some questions that the Corinthian church sent to the Apostle Paul while he was minister in Ephesus, and he sent back the answers to them. So he probably hadn't preached those answers before they were written. So there's scriptures that were written before they were preached. But think of how many were preached before they were written. A larger amount, I believe. Even look at the Old Testament. How much of it did God write before he spoke? None of it. Well, he only wrote the Ten Commandments, right? By the way, he wrote them on the stone, didn't he? With the finger of God. So can God actually write himself? Yes, he can. But what did he do? He spoke those first. And by the way, everything that Moses wrote, where did he get it from? God told him. It was impressed upon me as I was just studying this, the priority that God puts on speaking the word, on communicating the word one-on-one. It happened so many times before the word was even written that we see that. And time and again, in all the letters of the epistles, when Paul's writing these letters, he's referring to them regarding things what that were first spoken before they were even written. And that shows me the importance that God has of one-on-one evangelism. Amen. If I were to say, how many of you in here got saved just by reading the Bible? How many would raise your hand? How many of you got saved because someone told you what was in the Bible? Amen. You see that? It's that priority that God puts, that one-on-one. God works through people, doesn't he? And there are those who have been saved reading the Bible. And some of you might remember Brother Greg Kaufman. That was one of his testimonies. He was in his driveway and he had read the Bible, and it just dawned on him what he needed to do to be saved, and he prayed to get saved. And it was just from reading the Bible. So that does happen. But it's interesting the priority that God puts on sharing the word there, this body of faith. He'll mention this again in verse 4. Paul writes to Titus, "Mine own son, after the common faith," this faith that we have, this word of God and the scriptures. "Titus, mine own son, after the common faith." What does he mean? 1 Corinthians 4:15. "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Through the gospel. How was Titus Paul's spiritual son, in a sense? Paul was the one that shared him the gospel. And it was what? The gospel that did the begetting. Amen. It was the Holy Spirit through the word of God. And Titus was born again. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Amen. So that gospel has that living word has that power in it. And the Holy Spirit uses that. All that being a part of the body of faith, the faith of God's elect. It is that faith, by the way, which must not be defiled. Amen. We are to be watchful about that. In Galatians 1:8, Paul writes, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So Paul had already been there. He'd already preached the word. And by the way, it was the word of God when he was preaching it. They believed it. Paul writes them a letter and says, by the way, if we or anybody else come back and preach something else, let him be accursed. He included himself in that. He says, because what we were saying and preaching was the word of God. So if we ourselves come back and change it, let us be accursed. Because that was the word of God that preached, is what he's saying. And now he puts it in writing. And he says, confirms it in the scripture there. We see that. It's a faith that must not be defiled. It is a faith, as Jude writes, that we must contend for. Jude 1:3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. We need to be contending for this faith. Amen. We see it all the time. People trying to add to it and take away from it, don't we? We see it all the time. And we don't want to do either one of those. We want to preach what? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen. And the whole counsel of the Word of God. This apostle, this is according to the faith of God's elect. So this apostle of Christ is defined in the body of faith that has been delivered to the saints. And so we'll look at that now with that in mind. We think about the word apostle. What is it in the scriptures? It's apostolos in the scripture. And it means a delegate, a messenger, one sent forth with orders. Specifically applied to the 12 apostles of Christ. So it is one who is sent. And so the faith that Paul is preaching and teaching also declares that believers are given gifts and callings. His was the calling to be an apostle, and he received the gifts he needed to serve in that capacity. And he, by the way, he'd written much about this. It's important to realize that when the apostle Paul writes Titus, he's already written all his other letters except for 2 Timothy. Okay, so he's got. So all the other letters are also now in Scripture, in that body of faith, and what an apostle is. And by the way, when the apostle Paul writes Titus, probably Luke and Acts were written as well as one of them. I can't flew out of my head right now. But other scriptures were written there. And so Paul had those James. Paul had those to refer to. As scripture that's written. So the apostle coming out of the scripture, apostolos, Romans 11:29, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God gives gifts and callings to the elect, those in Christ, and he doesn't change his mind about them. You know, oh, you don't like the gift of serving? Okay, well but maybe I'll give you another one. That doesn't happen. You know, you don't like the gift of giving? Okay, well, maybe I'll see if I'll give you another one. God's not going to do that. Okay, when he gives you a gift, you go to church. You have a servant's heart, so you try to serve in multiple areas, and pretty soon you find out that you do better in some areas than others. And you find out, you begin to sense, you're a little more gifted in some area. And so you begin to realize and discern what your gift is. His apostleship springing out of the faith. Ephesians 4, when Paul writes Titus, we have Titus and Crete and such, and we look at the things that take place in Paul's life. We understand that Titus was written after Paul's first imprisonment, in between before his second imprisonment. Okay, Titus is out there doing some traveling, and Paul's doing some traveling. All the other letters before Paul's first imprisonment don't allow it. And that's another study. So he was apparently freed there in between. So he's already written Ephesians in his first imprisonment.
and he wrote in Ephesians 4:7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, according to whatever gifts and callings he's given you in the faith when you got saved. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto man. And he says, now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some, what's it say? Apostles. That's where Paul's gift came from. Paul's gift was what? To be an apostle. And that's how God would use him in the church. He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There are multiple other gifts mentioned elsewhere in the scripture. So his gift, his calling comes right out of the body of faith. God had planned that. God had planned to use him as an apostle. So what do we see from the faith that an apostle is? The apostles of Christ were a select few. And the key is not so much apostle, but apostle of Christ. It makes the whole difference when you add the of Christ. And that's what separates them from what people are trying to claim they're apostles today and all that. They may be an apostle of their own church. Their own church sent them out. And so that way they're an apostle of their own church. But they're not an apostle of Jesus Christ. See, because the risen Christ didn't send them out. And we'll look at some of those things that are required for an apostle of Christ from the Word of God. In Acts chapter 1, which was probably already written when Luke already wrote his letters, when Paul writes to Titus. And the disciples... Judas Iscariot killed himself, of course, and so the disciples gathered together, and they know the scripture that one is supposed to replace Judas, but so they decide to cast lots, and they end up voting for Matthias. We're not going to go into details tonight as to whether or not this was God's plan for the 12th apostle. I'll just say this, I won't go there for time, but you would find them casting lots for Matthias in Acts chapter 2 and verse 16 and following. But when you find that, you find Matthias mentioned there, and he's never mentioned again in the New Testament. That's the only place he's mentioned, is where Peter and them get together and decide they'll cast lots for Matthias and another one, and Matthias wins the lot. And by the way, casting lots was what? An Old Testament form of discernment. So there's some question as to whether or not that's the way that God wanted it to be done. We're not given any more information about it, just that they did it, okay? We know that later on, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, appears, and he does call another apostle, amen? And his name is the Apostle Paul, as one born out of due time. But even the apostles knew, even when they gathered together, they understood with the event over Matthias. We read in Acts 1:21, wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. An apostle, they understood, had to have seen the risen Lord. Had to have seen the risen Lord. Any of these people that are calling them apostles themselves to apostles of Christ today, any of them seen the risen Lord? No, they haven't. Paul, when he is defending his apostleship to some who were doubting it, writes in 1 Corinthians 15:7, after that, he, Jesus Christ, was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, remember, on the road to Damascus, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But I saw, Paul says, the risen Christ. So an apostle of Christ were a select few. An apostle of Christ had to have seen, one for one thing, the risen Lord.
Okay. What else? Well, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9:1, before I depart from that, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have not I seen Jesus Christ our Lord? See, he recognizes that was proof that he was an apostle, and they had to see the risen Lord. Secondly,
they were chosen by the risen Lord,
and sent out by the risen Lord. In Luke 6:13, when it was day, he called them his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. And of course, we know in Matthew 28:18-20. He gives them, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So those 12 that he chose, what? He sent out into the world. The risen Christ. In Matthew 28, that's the risen Christ speaking. He's sending them out, okay? The Apostle Paul was sent out by who? The risen Christ, amen. He'd seen him, chosen by the Lord, sent out by him. When the Lord appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9, sees that great light, and Paul says, "Who art thou, Lord?" He says, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth. I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." Boy, I tell you, talk about light coming on. And what? Remember Paul. What wilt thou have me to do? He became the Lord's servant at that moment. Whatever you have for me, Lord, you are the Lord. By the way, he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We didn't just receive Jesus Christ when we got saved. We received what? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we are to do what he says, go where he calls us to go, be what he calls us to be. Amen. That's what it means. Why call ye me what? Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. And so we ought to be following him, serving him. When God called Paul, and then he told him to go into the city, and I'll show you what you need to do. And then God speaks to a godly disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And he says, I want you to go and talk to one named Saul of Tarsus. Tells him where he's at. Behold, he prayeth. He's seen in the vision the man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias, in Acts 9:13, answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And Ananias, by the way, knew he was coming to Damascus for some business. And by the way, it wasn't good business as far as Ananias knew, okay? And I hear he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. What does God say? But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He's an apostle. Chosen and sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, having seen the resurrected Lord, sent by the Lord, by the risen Christ. We talked about that in Matthew 28:18-20, the Apostle Paul obviously too. And Acts 1:8, you have again the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, speaking to them, sending them out into the world. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, and in Samaria, and at uttermost parts of the earth. So sending them out. And then, what else did the apostles have? They had their credentials of miracle-working powers. They had their credentials of miracle-working powers. In Mark 16:17, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, I've often thought about that verse. I think I mentioned this before. I wonder if anybody ever tried to poison them, you know. They're sitting there back there waiting. Oh, this is going to be good, you know. And Peter drinks his water, you know, and goes off and starts preaching again. What happened?
You know, I just poured a whole vial of poison in there. Gee, if they drink any deadly thing, what? It'll not hurt them. They might have been, somebody might have attempted to poison them and they never even knew it. You know, we're not told about any of those events, but Jesus mentioned that, and he must have mentioned it for a reason, amen? And God was watching over them. And so those miracles, great fear. The apostles were preaching in Pentecost, and Ananias came in, and Sapphira, his wife, remember that? Figured they lied to the Holy Ghost, and they wanted to feel real spiritual, like, you know, we sold our land, and we're giving you all the profits of our land, because many had done that before them, but they kept back some for themselves. But that's what they agreed to tell Peter and the apostles. First, Ananias came in and pulled that little number. He dropped dead. Later, his wife came in. She gave the same story. They conferred together. She dropped dead. They took him out, and they had a dual grave plot right there for them. They lied to the Holy Ghost. Credentials of miracle working powers. Bible says that as the apostles preached, great fear came upon all the church. That's after Ananias and Sapphira were taken out. By the way, I believe Ananias and Sapphira were probably saved, but they committed the sin unto death. God says, "You think you're in the inception of the church, you're going to give a bold faced lie to the Holy Ghost?" And so God set an example there, and God took them out. God took them home. And that ought to show us, amen, that ought to breed some sincerity in our hearts. The Bible says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And so some people, you know, they those are the apostles. We're not going to try to pretend to be one of them, is what those people began to realize, because God's power is especially on them. And remember, that's the Jews, the seven sons of the Jew named Sceva. And, you know, and they hear these guys going around, they're casting out devils in the name of Jesus. Let's try that. And so they go into this guy, this demon filled with devils, and they adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Come out of the guy. What's the Bible say? He jumped on and ripped off their clothes, beat them up, and they barely got out of there alive, it seems. He said, but what did he say to him first? Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You know, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And they apparently didn't have a relationship with God, okay? And the devil didn't know them. By the way, if you have a relationship with God, the devil will know you, okay? The devil will know you. He's not omniscient, but he has multitudes and multitudes of demons, okay? And they find out just kind of in the way that you and I would find out. They hear what other people say. They see what you do. They can't read your mind. The devil can't read your heart. The devil can't read your thoughts. He's not omniscient. He hears what you say. He sees what you do. He hears what others say about you. And he keeps that information. He uses it. But they had credentials of miracle working powers. And we'll wind it down here. The apostle Paul had that as well. In writing to the church at Corinth, he says, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 12:12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So the apostles had those signs accompanying them. Hebrews 2:3. The writer of Hebrews writes, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. And so we see that. And
apostles of Christ. And we'll continue there. Look a little bit more about apostles next week and continue on. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness and blessings. And God, I thank you that you have chosen to use people and you've chosen to give us gifts. Every person that is saved has at least one gift and maybe more. And no one that's saved has all the gifts. Father, that's why we need one another. And God, I thank you, dear God, that we have your word preserved for us, this body of faith that we know that we can conform our lives to by your Holy Spirit. We can walk in wisdom. We can have the power to say no to sin. We can find deliverance through the trials and that come our way, whether they're chastisements or just trials of life that would test our faith, God. We can draw closer to you through them because we have your word and we have your spirit. We have, dear God, your son as our advocate at your right hand. And Father, to be on our side. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for that. I thank you for this church. I thank you dear God, just for the recent giving, Father. And I pray you bless each one who's given so sacrificially, Father. And help and speed these missionaries on their way. Help them get their support quickly. Keep them safe in their travels, God. And we do pray, Lord, that should you tarry, that through their ministries, dear God, souls would be saved, lives would be changed. And Lord, that there'd be more taken up to meet you, God, when you come. And Father, we pray.